Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. I'm excited about having a new friend on the show with us, ladies and gentlemen. Gwendolyn Bounds is with us. Now, her mother calls her Gwendolyn, but she says we can call her Wendy, and which we appreciate that very much. Wendy is a professional journalist. Ladies and gentlemen, she has a significant resume in that area. She currently works for the Wall Street Journal, covering small business and other areas, but primarily small business for Wall Street Journal. And she's also written a couple of books, which I'll get her to tell us about in just a little bit. But right now, let's get her in here. Wendy Bounds, welcome to the show.
Hi there, Jim. You got me in trouble with my mother already this morning.
No. Well, you know, we do what we can around here, Wendy.
That's right. You stir things up. That's good. I appreciate that.
It's good to have you here. It's good to have you on the show. And you know, one thing that my audience knows, Wendy, and that I don't have to, they know I'm not just saying this because you're here. They know that I am absolutely addicted to the Wall Street Journal.
Well, you keep me gainfully employed and pay a portion of my salary, so for that I'm appreciative.
I promise you, I get it 6 days a week. I get the weekend journal.
Well, I appreciate that because I write for that weekend journal, too.
I know
you
do.
People should be reading it. It's a good one.
I know you do, and I also have an online subscription.
Well,
because
you're everything in one package.
I'm telling you, I'm a walking billboard for you guys. No, the biggest thing about the Wall Street Journal, folks, and this is something you've heard me say this before. There's only one thing that you got to know about the Wall Street Journal. You got to learn how to read the darn thing. Because Wendy,
you mean by that? Like which way? Like you read it front to back, or
no,
you read
no,
to back section, or what do you
no.
mean?
No, if you read the journal, if you get connected to the journal, you won't get anything done that day.
I see what you're saying.
There's so much stuff in it that I'm telling you, when I started taking a subscription back in the 80s, like over 20 years ago, almost 25 years ago. And when my first issue came in, I was so excited. It was kind of like Steve Martin and the Jerk, you know, the new phone books are here, the new phone books are here. And so I got the first edition, and before I knew it, it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
And
I said,
still in your slippers.
I was still reading the journal. I said, this has got to, I got to figure this out. So what my point is, what you got to do is you got to find out how to scan the thing to find the things that you really want to read, and then maybe come back to the other things. But it's full of stuff and full of good stuff. And anyway, congratulations on the work that you do. I want you to tell the audience about something. Let's see, you've already had one of these events, and you're going to have at least three more. You call it the Insight Exchange. Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, we are having four panels. Now, this is a first for us. They are four breakfast series panels with very small groups of business owners attending in four cities across the country for the journal. But what this is it basically is a way to sort of showcase entrepreneurs and small business owners across the country. We are picking panelists for each panel, probably about four or five, and we're getting a real breadth of folks. Everyone from names you would know, like the Nantucket Nectar guys who started that company, Tom Zakey, who founded TerraCycle. It's a lawn care fertilizer waste company that's gotten a lot of attention in recent years, to Steve Dimas, who started Silk Soy Milk. So these are names you'll know, and we're mixing those with some folks you might not know. And the whole purpose is to simply tackle some different issues in each panel and get that word out there to the business owners who are attending.
What are some of the things that? By the way, the next one's in Palm Beach next week.
Coming up, yep, next week, September 4th, and we still have a few seats opening. So if people are interested in that, they can sign up online at the Journal. The first one went really well, and we've had enormous feedback. So I'd encourage anyone in the Palm Beach area to look into this.
You want to give us that website?
Sure, you can go to the Wall Street Journal, WSJ.com. You click on our Small Business tab, and that will lead you over to the Insight Exchange to sign up. And if you have any trouble, you can email me directly at wendy.bounds, like out of bounds, at
yeah.
WSJ.com.
And I understand that's the way she operates too. Out pretty much out of bounds all the time. That's what I've been hearing about you, Wendy. And by the way, here's another way. Here's another way to get to that. InsideExchange.wsj, as in Wall Street Journal. InsideExchange.wsj.com. I encourage you, all of our friends now over there in the eastern side of Florida, check that out. Palm Beach, and then the next one's in Denver. And then Austin, Texas.
And then Austin, where you can hear some good music, too. So
exactly.
You can't go wrong in any of these spots.
Exactly. No question about it.
It doesn't take up too much time. It's only like an hour and a half, 2 hours out of the morning.
And you're the moderator of all these, right?
I do my best. I am the moderator. I sit there and either just let the conversation go or try to stop fights from breaking out.
Sometimes,
how wild it gets.
Sometimes the moderator's job is just to stay out of the way, isn't it?
I think that's very true. Especially if they're throwing things, then you really stay out of the way.
No kid, it's kind of like doing a radio show. My only job is just to get us in and out of the breaks, which I have to do right now. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we'll be right back with our new friend, Wendy Bounds. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out when you get a chance. Use them to your advantage. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. By the way, that's Norman Greenbaum in the background there. Wendy Bounds is our guest and our new friend, soon-to-be old friend, and she's a columnist with the Wall Street Journal, among other things. She does a lot of different things. Now, you've written a couple of books, haven't you, Wendy? Now, one of them, you've written a fiction and a nonfiction, is that right?
They're both nonfiction, although the second one almost reads like a novel, and it is actually about a small business, a small Irish pub here in upstate New York that I stumbled on right after September 11th and ended up moving up to this small town and sort of immersing myself in this world, working behind the counter of this small pub country store. And it's about one family struggle to keep this place alive and all the sort of crazy characters who come in and out of it.
Right.
And just, you know, a place that we kind of missing in our big box retail world these days.
Chapel on the River. Is that the name
of it?
But here's another one. Now my audience knows I'm a guy who likes a catchy book title, just like the next guy. But you also co-authored a book, and I'm going to read this here, folks. So you're going to want to take notes. This is going to be on the test. Birds on the Couch: The Bird Shrink's Guide to Keeping Polly from Going Crackers and You Out of the Cuckoo's Nest. Now, you got to be a little bit off your beam to come up with a title like that, Wendy. And I think that's one of the reasons we're going to like you.
Do you think we could get one more bird analogy into that? Shrink analogy? I think we could. I think we get an award for that.
I had the first time I read it, I had to stop and rest halfway through.
Well, I tell you, it's a funny title. It's a funny book too. But there's also some real truth to that. Anybody who is a bird owner out there. Now, I'm the daughter of a veterinarian, so I sort of love animals of all ilks. But anyone who has a bird knows that like that is different than having a dog and different than having a cat.
So you keep pet birds?
Yeah. Well, I teamed up with a bird psychologist in Maryland who had been on
2020. Whoa! Time out. Time out. Birds, yes. Bird psychologist?
Yes, I know.
This is a person who makes a living counseling people's pet birds?
A side living. She runs a pet store, but on the side, she teaches bird psychology 101. Because
only in America.
Only in America. And maybe only in Maryland, I'm not sure. But she's done quite well with this, and I wrote a book with her sort of helping people crack their birds' idiosyncrasies, but at the same time, of course, looking at the human idiosyncrasies as well. So
only
copy, God bless, and I'll sign it for you.
It's amazing. You know, I like wildlife, and so I love watching birds. I'm kind of an amateur bird watcher, so I love wild birds, and I like pet birds, but in your house, not in my house.
Right. Well, it's not going to be in my house, so we're going to find somebody else's house.
let's talk about some of the things you've learned so far at the Inside Exchange at these conferences that you've been moderating. What are some of the things that you've learned from the small business owners who you've been talking to?
You know, it's interesting because the night before the first panel in Palo Alto, everybody sort of gathered to have a drink at the hotel and talk. And what emerges after, you know, one drink at least, is that everybody has a Walmart war story.
Right.
And I felt it was fascinating hearing these, you know, everybody's sort of struggle and triumphs to get into big box retail in general, and usually it boils down to, you know, how did I first land a Walmart buyer? And we had some folks there who just had great stories about, you know, chasing down a Walmart store buyer in Florida at a trade show in the middle of a hurricane, you know, what they had to do in terms of getting down to Bentonville and getting in there and presenting their products and the experiences they went through. And they're very, I mean, like, I learned a ton from these folks.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that's what's so great about these panels is that the people that we've picked have all had success in sort of breaking some of these big conundrums that small business face, and I think that these folks really elaborated on that for the people who are attending.
Any horror stories? Because, you know, I still, one of my favorite lines in cinema is the line in Out of Africa where Karin says, when God wants to punish you, he answers your prayers.
Right, right.
And so I know people who've actually done business with Walmart, and that's their line now. When God wanted to punish me, he answered my prayers and gave me Walmart as a customer.
Well, I think you better be incredibly ready to be in Walmart if you go down that path. And I think that is a mistake, Jim, that you raise. It's a good one, is that people just think they want to get in, and then they are not prepared from an inventory standpoint,
yep.
from a production standpoint. They don't have their factories here or overseas ready to go to ramp up. They don't realize that they're going to have to package everything in a certain kind of box with a certain color label, and that if they don't get that inventory into those stores and sell through in time,
right.
that they're not going to come back. And Walmart does test periods. And if you don't make it through that test period, you're likely going to get cut because you're
right.
there's thousands waiting to go down that road after you. So,
but there are plenty of people also that have made those cuts, and they performed, they delivered just as they should have, and then before they knew it, Walmart was 80% of their business.
Right,
and in many ways they owned them, and basically they played a tune that this company was required to march to.
Right, and I think I mean, you never want to put all your eggs in one basket,
mm-hmm.
You know, particularly if that basket may have a W on it. I mean, because if you do, just like you said, they just decide the buyer decides, you know, one day they don't want to have you in the mix anymore, there goes 80% of your business. And I think it's so tempting because, you know, it's Walmart. But, again, the people I think who have the biggest success spread it out.
Right, absolutely, no question about it. When do you want to give us the website?
Sure. The website for the Inside Exchange panel is that you're talking about? Inside.
Sure, that's fine.
WSJ.com. InsideExchange.WSJ.com.
And of course, WSJ.com for the newspaper and everything else. We'll take a quick break and find out some more things that Wendy learned at moderating these panels with these real life small business owners just like you and just like me. Tin Till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back after these messages.
And try to meet the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. There's perhaps the best song of Fleetwood Mac, in my opinion, Rhiannon. Wendy Bounds is our guest, and she's a columnist with the Wall Street Journal, but that really doesn't do her justice just to say columnist. She's there's a lot of different things for them. You also do a home improvement article for them, don't you, Wendy?
I do. I write another column. I think columnist is the best moniker you can have, but I write another one called About the House. Where I basically tackle sort of home improvement projects that everyone out there is probably considering doing in their own house and see, you know, sort of make heads or tails of it. Because I think, you know, our home is our most important asset, but yet it's a big mystery to most of us. We don't go to school to learn how to take care of it. So everybody's always interested in that.
What was the name of that movie? Was it with Tom Hanks and...
Yeah, what is
you know,
that?
You know,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
With the house attacked him or something.
Right. That's pretty much par for the course around here. You know, right now I'm trying to figure out, like, how to get a new boiler
right.
for the heat. So, you know,
exactly.
that's not so easy.
We restored an old home once, and it was a historic home. We restored it, and some people came up and said, oh, you're the ones who remodeled the Lewis home.
Yeah.
And I said, we didn't remodel it. We restored it. They said, what's the difference? I said, about $50,000.
Exactly. and that's probably lowballing it.
Oh, yeah. It was a little house.
it really is true. But, you know, it's funny because people spend more time researching, I think, to buy a new iPod than they do figuring out the things they're going to do in their own home. They just say, oh, okay, you handle it, and they shove it off to the pro. And they end up being sorry about it later. And so that's what this column that I write is aiming to do, is to sort of help people, whether you have money or don't have money, figure this out.
And you know what? I believe that is one of the great opportunities for a small business owner in the future, and that is helping homeowners, home improvement contractors, helping homeowners with their houses in the future. I believe that's a great opportunity to make a good living, and especially if you're handy with your tools and you know how to fix things. I think that's going to be something that more and more people are not handy anymore.
Well,
who own houses, as you say.
You hit the nail on the head, to borrow shamelessly home improvement cliche. But the truth is, in this economy, everybody's having to stay in their homes more. You know, people aren't just moving into new homes. And so the opportunity to figure out how to help people make their homes more efficient, you know, more healthy, and just simply to keep them up, I think is going to be a very ripe area for small business owners in the future.
What have you learned? I want to go back over to the Inside Exchange panels that you've been working on, and of course you've got several others coming up. What have you learned about marketing a product from these folks?
What I think we saw in this first panel, which I hope we're going to delve into next, is the sort of tendency for so many small business owners, entrepreneurs, to see something out there that's doing well and then to come up with a Me Too product, and that it just, and when I say Me Too, one that basically mimics something else that is successful already. And it just never works, Jim, as you well know. And I think what we've seen from our entrepreneurs is how much they have differentiated how their product looks, basically a pen that is shaped different than any other stick pen writing instrument that you've ever seen out there, or a new juice that has vitamins and probiotics in it that comes in like a shot format. So that shot format stands out from every other juice that's on the shelves. I mean, you saw that with vitamin water, right? One of the biggest small business success stories out there, sold to Coke, $4 billion. Can't beat that. Look how differently vitamin water looked on a shelf of water. And so I think that you cannot underestimate just how much that can help you when you have your product look different than everybody else's.
One of the things that I've been saying for a long time, Wendy, is in the 21st century, it's okay to fall in love with what you do, like we did in the 20th century. Wendy, I'm a lot older than you. I remember a lot of things from the 20th century, and people fell in love with what they did, and they made a living that way for a long time. It's still okay to fall in love with what you do, but you can't fall in love with how you do it.
Because you got,
and that's what you were just talking about.
Yep, absolutely, Jim. I think that's true. And I think the most successful entrepreneurs I have met at this Inside Exchange panel who are here are ones who essentially throw a bunch of seeds out there, you know, and then they see what's going to grow. And they don't expect, like, just to do one thing. They're ready to be nimble and to maneuver and to shift. And I think that's critical.
And maybe they continue. They always were going to do a particular thing, like the juice thing you were talking about. They loved that. They wanted to do that. They just didn't care how the juice got delivered.
Right, but see, do you know how hard that is to do? To sort of, you go in, you've drawn out your product on a napkin, you think it's going to be one way, then you got to change another way to make it another way.
You have to be that nimble. You got to fight your own ego in those cases. Hey, Wendy, the website, folks, for her exchanges are InsideExchange.wsj.com, or go to Wall Street Journal, WSJ.com, and find out more about it. Wendy, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Jim, thanks so much.
We'll see you next time.
All right.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.